What happens after the most significant event in human history? I'm Chris Montgomery, senior pastor at Fraser Church in Montgomery, Alabama, and welcome to Fraser 365. Today we're in a study called Victory, a journey from the cross to Pentecost. Our prayer is that through God's Word, you'll come to a greater knowledge today of what it means to be a disciple of Christ and live in the victory of His resurrection power.
Welcome to Day 8 of From the Cross to Pentecost. Today's devotional is entitled, Empty Tomb, Fulfilled Scripture. Matthew 28:5-6 says, "Then the angel spoke to the women. 'Don't be afraid,' he said. 'I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said he would happen. Come, see where his body was lying.'" Our text for today is Luke 24:13-27. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." And he said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Some thoughts on today's reading. Jesus had repeatedly said that he would die, and 3 days later he would be raised from the dead. See Luke 9:21-22, 18:31-33. Now, in Luke 24, the resurrected Savior has kept his word and appears to two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Tabiti Anyabile provides an excellent description of this incredible encounter. Luke set out to teach us that we can believe with certainty the Christian faith because it is a biblical faith. That means that what happened on that Sunday morning was in keeping with what God said he would do in the scripture centuries before these events. There were two disciples going to Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They're talking together about everything that's happened when Jesus himself came near and began to walk along with them. See verse 15. Verse 16 tells us, "But they were prevented from recognizing him." Now, they didn't prevent themselves from recognizing Jesus. Someone else did. God kept them from recognizing Christ at this point. In a spiritual sense, they are walking and talking blind. The Lord asks them what they're discussing. We don't know much about the disciple in verse 18 named Cleopas, but Cleopas will forever be remembered for what he said next. "Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that happen there in these days?" Imagine being known for asking Jesus whether he knew about the crucifixion. That's hilarious. Jesus is the only one in the world who truly does know. Our Lord has a sense of humor. He plays along and asks them, "What things?" See verse 19. Verse 17 tells us they're discouraged. They're like the ladies at the tomb. They don't understand what's happened either, but they break things down for Jesus as they knew them. First, they say that Jesus was from Nazareth and that he was a mighty prophet who taught and did miracles. His ministry was done before God and all the people. His ministry had integrity, but their own religious leaders betrayed him when they handed him over to be sentenced to death and they crucified him. See verse 20. Then they tell the Lord about the women at the tomb, verses 22-24. These men knew the facts of the gospel, but they don't yet recognize the face of the gospel. Their problem is not intellectual. The problem is not that they don't know some things that they need to know. The problem is spiritual. That's why Jesus begins with the rebuke of verse 25. How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. They believe some things, but not all things. They don't yet believe the resurrection, and in referring to the prophets, Jesus is referring to the Old Testament, to the Bible in his day. So the Lord says, wasn't it necessary for the Messiah to suffer these things and enter into his glory? See verse 26. It was necessary because God said he would do it in the Old Testament. It was necessary because God was bound by his word. So the Lord gives them what must have been the mother and father of all Bible studies ever. Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted for them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. Verse 27. Two observations are critical. First, Jesus believes the whole Bible is about him. That means we cannot think it's all about us. The Lord Jesus went from Moses in Genesis through the whole scripture teaching about himself. This means we don't properly read our Bibles until we see how it connects to Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. The Bible tells one story, all about Jesus. You and I are in the Bible too. We are the ones whose sins killed Jesus, but he is the subject and the hero. Second, Jesus believes our faith should not be rooted in personal experience only. Our faith should be rooted in the Bible. We have a biblical faith. We believe these things because the Bible predicted them and they were fulfilled in history. We don't make up the meaning of these things. The meaning is there, in the Bible itself. God will not let the message that saves the world rest on human experience and oral testimony. He wrote it down beforehand so we could verify it. He wrote it down so we could pass it on from generation to generation. Christianity is God saying to all the world, I told you so. I told you I would deliver you, and I did it just like I said. What do you root your faith in? Is your faith simply rooted in some personal experience? Or is your faith actually built on the Word of God and Jesus Christ as he is revealed in the Word of God? The tomb was open and empty. The scriptures were open and fulfilled. Because Jesus left the tomb empty, our hearts can be filled with the assurance of his victory over death. Because the scriptures are fulfilled, we can rest assured that the Lord always keeps his word. Some questions to consider. Why do you think Jesus proclaimed his coming death and resurrection so often? In what ways is your faith rooted in God's word? How is the resurrection the ultimate display of God's power to keep his promises? Thanks for joining us today.